You know, I'm glad we have a second chance God. I'm glad that we have a God that doesn't write us off after one rejection, after one mistake. I'm glad, as the Bible tells us, that his mercies and compassions fail not. And as it says in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 3, that his mercies are new every morning. I'm glad that we have a God. When Moses asked him to reveal himself to Moses, that he says, I am a God that is patient and long-suffering. And so I'm glad that we got a God that not only gives us a second chance, but a third chance, and a fourth chance, and a fifth chance, and just keep on going down the line. I'm glad that we have a God that lets us, when we need to, start over. A God that will forget the past, a God that will pick us up when we fall, and a God that will encourage us to begin again. This morning I'm going to preach a simple message. I've entitled it, A Second Chance God. I have 3 points, 2 about God, and then 1 about us. So here we go. Number 1, I'm glad that we got a second chance God who gives us more than one chance to get saved. You go back and you read in Genesis chapter 6, the story of Noah. And I'm just going to quickly read some of the verses that are there in that chapter. Most of you know the story because it's a very familiar story about the guy who built an ark that saved he and his family from the flood. But it says in chapter 6, verse 5, and the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. In other words, whatever they thought, they did, and it was evil. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was a just man, and Noah walked with God. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me. I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. So in this story, and again, I just read a few of the verses that are in there. In this story, we get the picture of salvation. I mean, in this story, we read about man's sin. We read about the judgment that God pronounces on that sin. We read about God providing a way of escape, the ark. And we read about God inviting man to take that way of escape and get on the ark. And you say, well, preacher, I didn't see that last point from the verses you read. I mean, the verses you read talks about man's sin. It talked about the judgment of God. And it talked about the way of escape. But where do you get that God invited everybody to get on the ark? Well, I didn't read that verse. I got to go over to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, where it talks about Noah being the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness. A preacher of righteousness. You see, you read the book of Genesis and you see that it took, you'll see that it took Noah over 100 years to build the ark. And while he was building, he was preaching. That's why it says in the New Testament, he was a preacher of righteousness. And by the way, Noah was preaching the same message that I'm preaching today, that everybody's a sinner. There is none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That there's a punishment for sin. The wages of sin is death. Not just physical death. I mean, physical death comes sometimes because of sin. But the death that the wage of sin is spiritual death, being separated from God. And so Noah preached about that. And then he said, God has provided a way of escape. He talked about the ark. I'm going to talk about Jesus, our way of escape from the punishment of sin. And Noah said, hey, to the people in his day, if you want to escape the judgment that's coming, if you want to escape the flood, all you have to do is get on the ark. And I want to tell you this morning, if you want to escape the judgment that God has pronounced on your sin, all you have to do is get into Jesus. We pictured it in the Lord's Supper this morning. When he went to Calvary's cross, God laid on him every one of our sins. When he died, he paid for every one of my sins and every one of your sins. And this morning, if you'll ask him, he will save you. He'll save you. And so Noah was a preacher, and he preached about salvation. And the sinners in Noah's day just didn't hear his message one time. They heard it over and over and over and over and over for 100 years. Now, I think he did like preachers do today. I think he changed the way he presented it. I think maybe he changed the illustrations that he used, but the message was the same. You're a sinner. God's pronounced a judgment on that sin. He's also provided a way of escape. Here it is. Look at it. It's unfolding as we build it. It's the ark. And to escape the judgment, all you got to do is get on. You don't have to do anything else except get on the ark. And the message is the same today. We're sinners. God has pronounced a judgment on that sin. And he's provided a way of escape. And that way of escape is Jesus. And all you have to do is get into him. You don't have to do anything else. You don't have to get baptized. You don't have to take the Lord's Supper. You don't have to join the church. All you got to do is ask Jesus to save you, and he'll save you. Now, I think you ought to get baptized. I think you ought to take the Lord's Supper. But none of those, or I think you ought to join the church. But none of that is a requirement to get to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And all we need to do is to get to heaven, is to receive him. I'm glad he's a God of a second chance. I'm glad that he gives us opportunity after opportunity to get saved. Because you see, most of you here this morning that are saved were like me. We did not get saved the first time we heard the gospel. I mean, most of us didn't. I mean, we didn't go to church one time and hear a preacher preach about sin and about the punishment for that sin and about Jesus, and we walked out. That may have happened to some people, but I can remember during invitation time standing at the pews, having my fingernails dug into the pews and say, Lord, I'll go the next time. I mean, he was telling me I needed to get saved. The Holy Spirit was just telling me, you need to go. You need to get this right. And I had my fingers dug into the pews. Not today. I'll go next week. I was shy when I, well, before, well, you might think I'm not shy now, but I'm still shy. I'm shy. I didn't want to walk down an aisle in front of all that people. In fact, when I got saved, it was my preacher taking me into the office when we could be by ourselves. I didn't walk the aisle till after I got saved. But I'm glad God gives us opportunity after opportunity. The Bible says that as the Holy Spirit is talking to us about getting saved, he woos us to himself, or he courts us to himself. And by the way, God pictures that for us in our marriages. I mean, the Bible talks about marriage representing the relationship that we have with God. The husband represents Christ. The bride is the church, is us. And I would dare say that most of the wives here this morning did not fall in love the first time you met your husband. Now, I've heard people say, well, it was love at first sight. Hogwash. I mean, you may have felt an attraction. You may have felt an infatuation, but love takes time to grow. And I dare say that there are probably some husbands in this room that had to work really hard in order to get their wives to accept their proposal. I mean, I'll give you an example. Larry, when the first time that he met Bev didn't fall in love with him. I mean, Bev was already engaged to 3 guys. And when Larry showed up, she said, oh no, he's too old for me. Way too old for me. And you talk about somebody that had to court and somebody that had to woo, it was him. Now you think I'm kidding, lying. You go back and talk to him after we get done. She was engaged to 3 guys when he showed up. And he had to convince her that he was the one for her. Now, I don't know Brother Leonard's story as well, but I can just imagine. Here you have a refined, cultured, northern lady. And then a hillbilly from Missouri. You think Candy fell in love with him the first time she saw him? I don't think so. I think he had to work, and I think he had to woo her, and the same thing. He had to do a lot of work to convince her that he was the one for her. And I'm so glad that our God does the same thing for us. We don't hear the gospel one time and God says, okay, take it or leave it. Make up your mind. It's now or never. You're never going to get another chance. No, we hear the gospel over and over and over. And he keeps coming back over and over and over, courting us, wooing us, and saying, I'm the one for you. I'm the one that can pay for your sin. I'm the one that can give you a home in heaven. You need to come to me. I'm so glad we got a second chance, God, and he gives us another chance to get saved. Now, let me make two quick points, and then I gotta go on to my second point. One day, the second chances will stop. There came a day when Noah and his family got on the ark, God shut the door, and it started to rain. All the second chances were over at that point. They'd heard Noah preach the gospel for 100 years, time after time after time. But when God shut the door after 100 years, all the second chances were over. And the second thing I want to remind you of, there are some people that don't get a second chance. We read the story in the gospels of the thief on the cross. Have no indication that he heard about Jesus until that day. No indication that he heard about the kingdom of heaven till that day. But as he hung on the cross beside Jesus, he saw the gospel unfolding. And before he took his last breath, he said, Master, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to that dying thief who heard the gospel for only one time, he said, today you will be with me in paradise. There are some people that are only going to get one chance. There are some people who's got chance after chance after chance. But someday, those second chances will end. That's why the Bible says, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. And you be glad that you got a God that has given you chance after chance after chance. But do not test forever God's long-suffering and his patience. If you know that you're a sinner and you believe that Jesus died for you, then act on that belief, put your faith in him, and come and trust him. Trust him. And ask him to save you, and he'll do it. So, I'm glad we have a second chance, God. I'm glad he gives us more than one chance to get saved. I'm glad, number two, he gives us more than one chance to do right. We read in our scripture reading this morning about Manasseh, King Manasseh. He was one of the most wicked kings of Judah. And again, I won't take the time to read the scripture, but let me just tell you some of the things that he did. The Bible says he built altars for false gods. He caused his children to pass through the fire. He burnt his children as sacrifices to those false gods. He observed times. He used enchantments. He used witchcraft. He dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. He wrought much evil, and the Bible says it provoked God to anger. And because of Manasseh's sin, God let the king of Assyria come and take this king into captivity in Babylon. But as we read, when he was in affliction, in Babylon, when he was in captivity, the Bible says that he humbled himself greatly. He besought the Lord his God. He prayed for forgiveness, and God forgave him. And God not only forgave him, he made it so that he could go back to Jerusalem and be king of Judah again and try to turn the people's hearts toward God. Now, he gave him a second chance. He messed up. Again, one of the most wicked kings of Judah. And God's judgment was not withdrawn from Judah. It says in a couple places, because of all the things that King Manasseh did. But God gave him a second chance. He made him king again so that he could do right. I'm glad that God gives us a second chance to do right. Peter denied Christ. Said three times, I don't know him. No, no, you got me mistaken. I am not one of his disciples. Even cursed when he denied him the third time. And yet God gave Peter a second chance and said, okay, Peter, I'm going to forgive you. Go feed my lambs. And Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost, a preacher that had denied even knowing our Savior, and preached. and 3,000 souls were saved and baptized. David committed adultery and then murder. And Adam talked about it last Sunday night in our evening service. He prayed for forgiveness in Psalm 51, and God forgave him. I mean, David went to God and said, God, I know I messed up. I just want another chance. Give me another opportunity. I want to serve you. And God forgave him. And God greatly used David after that sin. I'm so glad that 1 John 1:9 is in the Bible. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I don't care what we've done as Christians, I'm glad that we've got a God that if we mess up one time, doesn't say, okay, pal, that's it. You screwed up. No more chances. I am done with you. I'm glad that God is not like that. You better be glad that I'm not God, and I'm glad that some of you are not God, because we wouldn't be like that. I'm glad that we got a God that knows that when we mess up, that if we come to him and ask for his forgiveness, he'll forgive us and give us a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance to do right. So those are my 2 points about God. Now, my 1 point about us. I'm glad we got a second chance God. God gives us a second chance to get saved. A God that gives us a second chance to do right. And so here's the point about us. If God gives us a second chance, don't we owe a second chance to others? If God has given us another opportunity to make things right, don't we owe the same opportunity to those that we come in contact with? And again, I mentioned it before, I'm so glad that you and I are not God. Because if we were God, and listen, this is true about all of us in certain situations. We are so quick to write people off. We are so quick to form opinions about people that they can never change. And we never give them a second chance. We never give them a chance to ask for our forgiveness. They mess up and we say, okay, that's it. We're done. There's nothing that you can do to get a second chance, and nothing that you can do to get another opportunity. And we hold grudges and we're unforgiving, and we drive people away from us because we are not like God. And God says, look, I gave you a second chance. Can't you give somebody else a second chance? I gave you another opportunity. Can't you give somebody else another opportunity? There's a story in the Bible, and I'll close with this, about a king. And he had a guy that owed him a large sum of money. I'll use $100,000, for example. And the king called this debtor into him and said, hey, you owe me $100,000. You need to pay up. If you don't pay up, I'm going to throw you and your family in jail until the debt's paid. And the debtor said, Your Majesty, I have no money. I have no way to pay. Could you please give me another chance? Could you just not throw me in jail? Just give me a second chance, and somehow I will repay the debt. Well, the king was moved by that request. He not only changed his mind, he forgave the debt. He said, okay, I set you free from your debt. Yeah, the $100,000 you owe me, you don't owe it to me anymore. The Bible says that this person that was just forgiven this debt went out and found somebody that owed him some money, a small amount of money, $100. He'd just been forgiven a debt of $100,000. He found somebody that owed him $100 and said, hey, you owe me $100. Pay up. I'm going to throw you and your family in jail. And that debtor said the same thing that the first debtor said. Hey, look, I don't have the money. Would you give me another chance? Would you just give me another opportunity to repay the debt? And the story goes that the man didn't. He said, no, you owe me $100. I'm throwing you in jail and your family in jail until you pay. Well, other people heard about what happened. They went back to the king. And he said, king, you remember that guy you gave the $100,000 debt to? You remember you forgave him? You know what he did? He went out and found somebody that owed him just a fraction, a small fraction of what he owed you. And he threw him in jail when he couldn't pay it. Got the king mad, and the king called the first one back in and said, hey, didn't I forgive you debt of $100,000? Yes, you did. I didn't throw you in jail, did I? No. He said, couldn't you have done that to that person that owed you $100? Couldn't you have shown the same mercy? Couldn't you have shown the same forgiveness? Couldn't you have shown the same second chance opportunity that I gave you? I'm restoring your debt. You still owe me $100,000, and by the way, you're going to jail. Now, I'm not saying that's what God's going to do to us. Please don't misunderstand me. But I'm saying that when God gives us a second chance, He expects us to reflect that in our dealings with others. Don't be so quick to get mad. Don't be so quick to write people off. Don't be so quick to put them in categories and say, oh, that person is like this and they will never change. You have a God that gave you a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance and a fifth chance and a sixth chance. And just keep on going down the line. He gives us chance after chance after chance after chance. And He says to us, can't you do the same thing? Can't you give other people the same opportunity to start over, the same opportunity for a second chance? So let me ask you this morning, are you saved? You know Jesus as your Savior? How many times have you heard it? How many chances have you had? And more important, how many more chances will you get? I don't know. You don't know. If you know you're a sinner here today, and you have enough faith to believe what I talked about, that Jesus took your sin to Calvary, then you need to come and ask Him to be your Savior. Don't put it off. You say, well, you may say like me, oh, I'll do it next week. Next week may never come. And I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm just telling you the truth. To not decide is to decide negatively. You need to come and get saved today if you're here and you don't know Jesus as your Savior. Have you messed up? Well, glory to God, He gives us another chance. Another chance. Second chance, third chance, fourth chance. And then, are you holding a grudge this morning? I just tell you, get over it. Just get over it. Give them another chance. They messed up? Yeah. Give them another chance. Be a little bit like God. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You that we have the freedom to preach it. Thank You that the message never changes, that we're sinners, that You loved us, and You made a way of escape, and that way of escape is Jesus Christ. And I pray for those that are here this morning that have never asked Him to save them. I pray, Father, You'd help them to know beyond a shadow of doubt that if they just ask You, You'll save them. You'll save them. So I pray for every person that needs to do that this morning that You'll help them to do it. I pray for all the Christians that are here. I pray, Father, that we'd realize that You do give us chance after chance after chance to do right. I pray we'd claim that verse in 1 John. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I pray if there's Christians here that have unconfessed sin, they would come this morning, not to me, but to this altar, and they would confess their sins to their God and get His forgiveness. And then, Father, I pray for people that might have a hard spirit this morning, holding grudges, won't forgive. I pray that You would just touch them. You'd make them a little bit like You, and they'd be a second chance and a third chance giving kind of person. Just bless this invitation, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.